Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Hot Pink University Blog Talk Radio Program, where we reignite your passion, your purpose, and your play. Find us at www.hotpinkyou.com. Take it away, ladies.
Hello and welcome. Welcome to the fourth part in the multi-series around the four quadrants of control. I'm so happy to have you here today. Today is all about quadrant four, which is tools to release, let go, surrender actively with love. How does that sound today? Welcome to Hot Pink University Blog Talk Radio Life Classes. Once again, I'm Christy Bemis, author, speaker, and psychotherapist, and Ignite Your Life coach. I'm so glad to have you here. If you want to find out more, www.hotpinkyou.com or Facebook, find me at Hot Pink University with Christy Bemis. You will always find ways to be inspired and to reignite your life with passion, purpose, and play. And a fair amount of pleasure. I have a free gift offering right now that is a 5-day pleasure challenge. And so I encourage you to go over there, sign up for my newsletter. I only send out mailings about once or twice a month. Sometimes when I'm running a special, there's something a little bit more in there for you, but they're always filled with juicy, yummy stuff. So today I am excited to be talking about, once again, my model around the four quadrants of control. Just a couple days ago, I had a woman reach out to me and talk to me about how life-changing the quadrants were for her, and especially quadrant four, which is all around releasing and surrendering. This is one of the most important quadrants because we want to control so much in our lives. And today we're going to whittle down why that is. And I'm also going to provide you with some tools for how to get into quadrant four. So once again, I'll walk you through the quadrants. Quadrant one is things that we have control over and we choose to act on them. And in general, we end up feeling, when we do that, accomplished, pride, happy, and healthy. And quadrant two is the upper right-hand one, and it's when we have no control over something and we choose to try to act on it. There's a lot of suffering in this quadrant, I feel like, and we're going to be talking about that a little bit, the theme around suffering. There's a lot of anger. There's definitely a lot of frustration. There's a lot of feelings of being triggered and just in general feeling out of control in that quadrant. And when we look at the lower left-hand corner, that's the quadrant that is quadrant number three, and it's all about the things that we have control over and we choose not to. You know, whether we get up in the morning, we choose to go for that run that we talked ourselves out of, right? Or whether we reach out to that person in our life and talk with them heart to heart and really open up our vulnerability to them. Whether we deepen our intimacy in relationships. And so that quadrant really is all about the things that you have control over and you're choosing not to. You're staying stuck. And it leads to oftentimes depression, feeling pessimistic, feeling hopeless in life, feeling defeated. And it leads to a greater sense of shame and guilt. So those are the three quadrants that we've already focused on. We're moving to the lower right-hand corner, which is all about the things we don't have control over and we choose not to act. I remember when I first was diving into these quadrants, and something similar to this was presented at a session that I was at a workshop, at a conference for women. And when we got to this part about, hey, what about the things you have no control over and you choose not to act? I remember feeling a tightness in my chest, and I remember feeling a little choked up around that and a little sense of anger, you know, like then I feel stuck. If I don't have control over something and I choose not to act on it, then I'm feeling stuck. And the woman was like, then you're still in quadrant two, which is you don't have control over it and you're trying to. And she was so right in that. Any time that we feel like we can control another person, or we feel like we can force something on our children, or force a friend to be a better friend, or ask them to change who they are, or talk to a parent about, I want you to be parenting me like this. I want you to be a grandparent to my children like this. Anytime that we move into these relationships with demands and expectations, we will be disappointed. And so this quadrant is about releasing and letting go. It is actually not a quadrant of weakness. A lot of people, I know myself included, would be thinking that if I release and let go and I don't give a person an ultimatum or I don't give a demand of how to care for me, then I'm actually being really weak and I'm not standing up for myself. And darling beauty, what I say to you is that's not what we're talking about here. Quadrant four actually still has boundaries. Quadrant four has boundaries, though, with connection, with staying connected. There are many times in my life where I've gotten to a place where, and help me if you relate to this, please, you know, send me an email at hotpinkyou@gmail.com and say, yes, I am that too. But there are many times in my life where I've tried to force my agenda on somebody. And I've tried to force a boundary when it's gotten too late, when the resentment has gotten to such a point that my voice and my tone is terse and filled with contempt and resentment. And there are many times where I've gotten to a place where passive aggressiveness has been at the forefront of how I'm communicating with somebody my boundaries. What I'm here to say is I've waited too long. I've had the feeling in my heart and in my body around resentment of doing everybody's laundry. So I stopped doing laundry for a week or two until they notice that things pile up, right? That's passive aggressive. And it doesn't lead to further connection or self-care even, which is what we're trying to do. It actually leads to more disconnect. Or there are times where I'm tired of coming home making dinner time and time again, and I explode on everybody around me, and I say, that's it. It's not my turn to make dinner tonight. I've waited way too long to set a boundary. So a boundary with connection, which this is a tool. Get out your journal and your pen. This is a tool. A boundary with connection sounds something like this. Hey, I am wondering if we can have a conversation. I have been feeling a little overwhelmed lately, and I have some ideas. But first, I'd like to emotionally offload a little bit about what I've been feeling. I've been doing everybody's laundry in the house, and I'm just not having enough time. I'm noticing that my free time is eaten up by folding everybody's laundry. I'm noticing that I no longer find joy in doing your laundry. And I'm noticing that it's leading me to look at you differently, like it's interfering with my love for you and my relationship with you. So in the future, I'm wondering if we could come up with some solutions together. Here's a few I've thought of. We could each take turns every week, and that would give me a week off every other week. Or you could just take over your own, and we could teach the kids how to do their laundry because they're 12 and they should learn how to use the machine, right? Now, if any of you are out there saying, I don't want them to break my machine, and so therefore I'm going to do their laundry and feel resentful for it, I'm here to tell you this. Your laundry machine will be broken sometimes. When you start teaching your kids how to do their own laundry, your laundry machine will be broken sometimes. When you start letting go of things and letting go of control, case scenario will happen sometimes. When you let your child take your car out as a 16-year-old for the first time, your car might get a few dings. I know mine did. We can't prevent sometimes from things happening. And so when the laundry machine gets broken, you contact the Maytag man and they come over and they find that the underwear or bras were the problem, and they weren't put in the proper bag. And so lesson learned, $150 later, and you can offset that cost if you desire and say, hey, because you didn't follow the directions, I need you to work that $150 off, or I need you to pay me half of that machine break, right? So there's things that we can do further down the line. But if we keep a tight rein of control on everybody and everything, we will never learn the lessons we need to learn, and they will never learn the lessons they need to learn. They will never learn as they leave your home how to do laundry properly. Or your laundry will get done because you'll be doing your laundry how you desire to do it. And everybody else, now that you've set your boundary in love and connection, can decide whether they have clean clothes or not on Monday morning. They can make that decision themselves. And some people will even go as far as to say, yeah, but that impacts me because then they're running around the house like chickens. And they're all upset. And I say, yes, it can upset you if you want it to. But you can create a bubble of comfort and love and tenderness for yourself and compassion for them as they're running around like chickens, yelling, and maybe even blaming you. And you can put a buffer in between that and say, I'm not going to take that personally. That's what this quadrant is all about. We try very hard to make it about us. And oftentimes it has nothing to do with us. So when we release and let go of control, we are actually giving a gift to other people. We're giving them a gift to learn something about themselves, about the world, and how to care for us. But it's done with connection and compassion. When I sit down and I talk to my partner about taking a turn of doing dinner, there might be times where the dinner is less than what I want it to be. But at least that person is showing me love through hearing my boundary and making me dinner. And so it's about releasing and letting go of outcomes. That's what this work is really about. So there's a lot of tools. I'm going to run off some of the tools and just go through them with you of how to stay in quadrant four. We're not going to be able to cover all of them, but I want to give you just a broad list of how I work with people in depth in coaching, in my sex education and relationship coaching, in my coaching for women. The tools are these: forgiveness, getting into your body, boundary work, expanding your feelings vocabulary, and emotional literacy. And soon I'm offering a course that you can take on your own online around emotional literacy. It's just in the end stages of being created. Assertive communication versus aggressive, passive-aggressive, passive. Yoga Nidra. It's a powerful tool, and you can easily YouTube video a Yoga Nidra at night on your way to bed. Mindfulness practices and meditation, breath work, emotional regulation planning, and distress tolerance skills. These are all things, tools that fit in this quadrant four. They're a beautiful array of tools. We've covered a little bit about boundary work, but honestly, we just touched the tip and the core. So today's show is all about how can I find peace and accept what is when often I feel like it is connected with a core value of mine. An example, working with a woman who's entering into a blended family, and the kids are often leaving the lights on, and they often are not being responsible by picking up garbage or picking up their wet towels off the floor and things like this. What it is it's touching a core value of hers, and that's why she's feeling it so intensely, because it touches a core value of hers of responsibility. And oftentimes when we hit on a core value, quadrant four, finding peace within is the hardest time to find peace within. If your kid is failing classes and you have a core value around education, or your job as a parent, right? It's devastating. It's horrible. It becomes awful. All of these things that we're talking about in quadrant four can be connected to one word, and that one word is expectations. You have a colicky baby, and you had a very different picture of what being a mom was going to be. It stresses you out because your colicky baby is not meeting your expectations, your vision of what you thought being a mom would look like. Expectations are the very thing that causes almost all of our stress. Anticipating a wonderful day coming up, your wedding day, envisioning all the things that you want it to look like and feel like for you and for your guests. And then all of a sudden the what-ifs come in and the worst-case scenarios. And guess what? Sometimes things are going to happen to kind of ruin an occasion. But we decide if it gets ruined. We make that choice if it gets ruined. At the core of finding peace are some key basic concepts I want you to consider. I'm exactly where I need to be right now in this moment, even if the rain is coming down on your wedding day. I am exactly where I need to be right now in this moment. When I got married on a February day, it was one of the worst blizzards. One of my favorite pictures of my wedding day is me in my very expensive wedding dress navigating a drift to get out to the limo, and my husband helping me lift up the back of my dress to get in, and my face is just lit up. And yes, some guests didn't make it on that wedding day, but we had such a story to tell. It was this gorgeous, beautiful big blizzard, and those that could made it safely, and that was blessed, right? So I'm exactly where I need to be right now in this moment, even if it's in a snowdrift or torrential downpour. The other core concept that I want you to consider is everything is happening for a reason. If you believe that in your life, you will find greater peace. And the last core concept in this quadrant is things are happening for me, not to me. It takes you and moves you out of victim stance into a piece of letting go and serenity with self-compassion and with greater love. What if 90% of what we worry about does not happen? Right? But when it does, then what? I was worried during my divorce about my own financial security. And sure enough, the first 2 months, my accounts went down to a place that felt really scary for me. What I learned through that yes, that 10% of what I worried about came true, or almost true. But really the biggest worry I had was I would be homeless. Like I wouldn't be able to like afford my condo. I wouldn't be able to afford my own health care insurance. I wouldn't be able to afford, you know, all the things that I needed to do to keep life going for myself, right? And 10% of that worry happened. I'm not homeless. My accounts drained to a place that felt very uncomfortable. But what I learned through that lesson was that I needed to budget and I needed to be real about it. It's black and white. They're numbers. It's not an emotional thing. I figured out what I needed to make and how many hours I needed to put in that, to that. And I needed to move my money around more timely. I needed to be more strategic around when I put things in savings, when I put things in my checking account. And I had accounts at that time all over the place, and I needed to consolidate so that I could really focus on where my money was actually at. And so these were all of the beautiful, gifted lessons that I learned by, you know, releasing and letting go and understanding that I have control over this. I have control over these aspects. I don't have control over whether or not my former spouse is giving me money or not, because I don't. He's gone. I have to make it on my own, right? I knew my money better at that time than I ever could. I worried about, at the time, the loss of my family and our times together. But what I ended up creating with my two biological kids, because I lost connection with my three stepchildren, you know, as our relationship ended. But what I learned is with my two biological kids, at least at the time and at the time that I'm taping, is that there's a closeness and connection more so now than ever. You get to choose your reality. You get to choose your level of suffering. I always remember this phrase after my sister passed away in 1996, pain is inevitable and suffering is optional. Instead of connecting yourself to an outcome which leads to suffering, can you find peace and embrace what is? I want you to trust these things in life. I want you to trust these. One, you will be disappointed in life. Two, you will disappoint others. Three, you will have unmet expectations. Four, people will fail you all the time. Humans will be humans. Five, you will fail and you will be a human. And you will make mistakes. Six, you will cause anger in someone and sadness. Seven, they will cause anger in you and sadness. I want you to feel the full array of human emotions, and that's what deepening your intimacy and connection with yourself and others actually does. And then I want you to move on and trust. Emotions are like clouds moving across the sky. Where there's one, another will follow. And you get to choose what that is. You get to make that choice in your body through your thoughts. You get to create and uncreate and co-create and recreate by changing your thoughts and shifting your perspective and shifting your beliefs. That is truly a powerful thing. And that's really what Quadrant 4 is really all about. Practicing these tools and living your life by checking in with yourself and understanding which quadrant you're in will change your existence. It will create less suffering, and yes, you will have pain because intimacy is a guarantee of pain. Connection with others is a guarantee of pain. It's also a guarantee of incredible and great joy. The deeper you dive, the deeper the joy, the deeper the intimacy, the deeper the love, and also sometimes the deeper the pain. And so I want to thank you for joining me for this four-part series. I want to revisit when we're controlling things and we act on that, we're creating feelings of accomplishment, pride, feeling happy and healthy. When we're trying to control things that we have no business controlling, meaning mostly other people and expectations and situations, it leads us down the road of anger and frustration and suffering. We start feeling out of control, and we're often feeling very triggered. When we control things, when we have control over things, and we choose to do nothing about them, we cause ourselves to feel depressed and pessimistic, hopeless, defeated, and a sense of shame and guilt. And when we don't have control over things and we choose to release and let go actively with love, we feel a sense of peace, surrender, calm, and a trusting presence in the universe that all is unfolding exactly as it needs to unfold. I hope this series helped you. There's so many tools in each of the quadrants, tools around practicing gratitude, tools around risk-taking and identifying what your needs are, tools around assertive asks, emotional literacy, self-care, tools around my authentic as fuck model, which is really a model that aligns your values with your behaviors and your core desires. It's a truly powerful model that I really would love to share with you. And tools around identifying your feelings, using anger and sadness as a compass. tools around what if the best possible outcome happens. Tools challenging, where is the evidence that supports this thought? And definitely tools around assertiveness. Directing our focus inward and taking care of our needs. And there's tools around moving shame and guilt, around comfort zone busting, around taking action to lead to greater clarity, around knowing and defining your own best next step, and around being your own best friend, increasing your ability to self-talk and have self-compassion. Tools to get out of decision paralysis and embrace imperfection. These are all the tools in my toolbox, and I would love to share them with you. At this point, my ask of you is, let's hop on a phone call. Let's connect with each other and see where you're at. If you feel like coaching with an Ignited Life coach and a sex education relationship coach would be helpful for you, just connect with me at www.hotpinkyou.com, and you can find my consultation button where you have access to my calendar immediately, and you can set up your own 30-minute Ignite Your Life assessment session with me. Through that, we'll get to know each other a little bit more, and I might inspire you with a little bit more knowledge around your own desires and what you want in life and what your own personal passions might be and how you can best get them. Let's remove some barriers and live the next years as our best years. I want to thank you for joining me today. Another 30 minutes of inspiration and knowledge. Again, you can find me at www.hotpinkyou.com and join my email list. I email a couple times a month, and they're always filled with great information on how to ignite your life with pleasure and with passion. I'm so glad to have you here today. Stay tuned. New episodes being dropped weekly, and there just might be some gem of something for you. As always, live your life with passion and dream big. Have a great rest of your day. Thanks for joining me for a small part of it.